Hello and welcome to the 18th edition of the Next Man Up podcast. My name is Logan Wortman and I'm joined today by our good friend Anthony Letzvenuk. How's it going?
Good, I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I know that you aren't a faithful listener to our podcast, our own podcast, because you didn't listen to my episode yesterday yet. So I decided to kind of read through the all-star teams that I had picked out from the last episode I recorded and kind of have somebody to react to it, and that person being Anthony. So we're kind of going to go through this really quick. This will be a shorter episode. But starting in the East, I think we will both agree that there are for sure the three forward spots, the three front court spots in the Eastern Conference starting lineup are like locks for the both of us, I'd say. Mm-hmm. So that first player being Joel Embiid.
Yep.
You'd agree with that.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Deserves it.
Kevin Durant would be the next one. And Giannis is the third one.
I guess, yeah.
You don't like the Giannis one?
I mean, it's obvious that he was going to get an all-star spot. I just don't like Giannis, really.
Oh.
I don't enjoy watching him. I get that he's just a tall dude who's, you know, very athletic and can dunk, but it's just like his play is not impressive to me.
Mm.
You know, it's the main reason.
All right. All right. Well, maybe if you do get around to listening to the episode yesterday, then you might not like it because I do a lot of Giannis or defending Giannis because I feel like he's been kind of overlooked this season in a lot of ways. But I think the world agrees with that. Embiid, KD, and Giannis are probably going to be the starting front court in the East. That's pretty easy. But then in the back court, this is where at least there's a lot more, you know, differing opinions because, you know, some people really care about winning. Other people care about different kinds of things. And the guards, it's very different choices in the East with guards. Mm-hmm. So, but my main guard in the East, and I think he's, you know, for sure the only lock completely for me as a starter, and that's Bradley Beal.
Yep, 100%. Deserves it, especially after being snubbed last year. So
yes. Yes, for sure. That was criminal, putting Kyle Lowry.
The Wizards have not been playing bad recently. So, you know, watch out for a run. And the East is still wide open, you know. So, you know, watch out for them.
Yeah, the Wizards got a couple pretty good wins recently. One over the Celtics.
Celtics and I want to say they beat the Nets.
Was it the Nets?
They might have beat the Nets.
I know that there was another, like, good
team. They beat the Rockets, who are pretty good, who I've been playing well. I'm not sure, though.
So they beat the Rockets the other night, and then they beat, before that, they beat the Warriors.
That's
who it was, maybe. And before that, they beat the Knicks. They lost the Knicks, actually.
Just getting wins. That team getting wins is just what they needed. So.
Yeah. Went over the Celtics, though. Yeah, that one was big. And Bradley Beal hasn't slowed down at all, leading the league in scoring. His per 100 stats are like, his scoring numbers per 100 are like on par with Jordan.
It's insane.
Which, yeah, not a lot of people have done that. But, you know, Giannis did it last year. That's why he won MVP last year.
Hey, man, so, he's only 26.
Yeah.
So it's like, watch out for the future, especially if he gets on a really good
contending team. For sure,
you know, there might be no stopping him.
For sure. And I'll toss this one over to you because, you know, I'm not super confident in my fifth starter, this for the second guard spot. Zach LaVine.
Yes,
that's who you want.
I want Zach LaVine. He's been insane.
He has
Beal
been.
And LaVine. Brown is close. It was between those two for me, Jaylen Brown and Zach LaVine for me.
No James Harden?
Not this season. I think he should be off the bench, I think. He's been playing great. Like I love James Harden. I love how he plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's like this season, not particularly like a start compared to like the seasons LaVine and Brown and Beal are having. I don't think he should be a starter.
Fair enough. Harden is actually the guy I landed on though, to put in the episode yesterday to give the last starting spot to.
Really? You chose Harden?
Yep. Mainly, you know, he's leading the league in assists with 11.2 and also 14 per 100. So, and, you know, he's been super efficient. Like, the scoring numbers have dipped a lot for sure, but he's been kind of like leading that offense in different ways. You know, he's still leading the Nets in touches since he's gotten there, but he's really distributing the ball a lot differently than we've ever seen James Harden play in the past.
And he doesn't have to shoot every possession now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's like
he's turned into a very different player. It's interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. And it's like he's not, you know, a very selfish player, and you see this. Like, he had to score for the Rockets to win those games. Like, if you look at their losses, it's Harden not doing good and everybody else not shooting well either. So it's just like, you know, they had to rely on him. And then, you know, Harden might have been tired of it. So, I mean, of course he would want to request a trade. So, but
yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
I just don't think I just feel bad for LaVine and, you know, Brown, because they've been having amazing seasons. So it's just like, how are they going to have like the best season of their careers while Harden's having one of, you know, he's not having a bad season, obviously, but like, just one of his, like, you know, lower seasons ever since he, you know, became like a starting player in the league. So.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. I do think both of those guys are very deserving candidates, and are going to get their due, especially, you know, in the seasons to come as well, because both of them are very young.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess Harden just felt the most natural for me to put in here as a, you know, starting guard. I think it feels weird putting either Zach LaVine or Jaylen Brown in there. It kind of reminds me of like Trae Young starting last season. Mm. I don't know. Like, yeah, his scoring numbers are gaudy and all that, but you know, he's not too much of a proven player yet. I feel like Zach LaVine on a big stage, at least. You know, he's leading a very subpar offense, doing a lot of scoring, which I'm not saying isn't impressive, but there's other guys that just kind of bring different skills that are also having really good seasons as well. It's just not showing out in the scoring. But I wouldn't scoff at anybody putting Zach LaVine or Jaylen Brown instead in here. I think I'm just going to stick with Harden, though.
That's fair.
Yeah. So then, you know, coming off the bench, my first guard for sure is Jaylen Brown. You know, we're doing the same format on the bench as well. So it's like there's two backcourt players, three frontcourt players on the starting lineup, and then also on the bench. And then the bench also has two wild card spots to make 12 total. So my first guard off the bench is Jaylen Brown. You know, he's just been a two-way animal this season and really stepped up in terms of handling the ball and scoring this season. But yeah, the Celtics have looked really shaky this season as well.
Very bad.
Yeah. So yeah, what do you think of that one? I guess you're going to have LaVine higher than him. So what about in comparison to Harden? You'd put Brown over Harden as well?
This season, I would.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for you, it would be the two guard spots on the bench would be Brown and Harden? Or is there another guard over Harden?
Yeah, Brown and Harden.
Okay.
Definitely.
Makes sense. Yeah, makes sense. So then my next guard coming off the bench, I actually have Ben Simmons.
Oh, wow. You know, that made me smile. He's been amazing lately, and it's just like, he's such a good player, but he's just like holding himself back. Like, the past few games, he likes to do this, you know, drive, like, and at the free throw line, turn around and pass it out. But these past few games, he's actually just taken it to the hoop, gotten fouled, or made a basket. And against the Jazz, I'm pretty sure he shot 13 for 14 from the line.
Oh, wow. That's really good for Simmons.
Yeah, and I'm just like, dude, like I'm not scared to watch him at the free throw line anymore. And it's like,
yeah,
I mean, he's been shooting like he's up 8%, I think, from last year on the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just improving constantly from there. And it was so fun to watch him play against the Jazz. He was destroying Gobert in the paint, and he was playing the five, you know, for half the game. Like we started him at center. So,
oh yeah.
And he won the tip against Gobert as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it's just, he's a great defender, and but I don't think he's been better than LaVine, you know, since LaVine doesn't make your all-star ballot.
That remains to be seen. Still got wild card spots down there at the bottom.
Forgot.
Yeah, but so with Simmons though, you know, I did put him in here at guard because officially, like on NBA.com for the voting, they have him listed as a guard.
Which he plays as a guard. Yeah.
Well, so. I mean, like he's pretty positionless. I feel like he could slot in at either guard or forward. Should work fine. But like you said, he started at center the other night. But yeah, with Simmons, I just feel like would you honestly rather have LaVine on your team this season than Simmons?
I don't think so. Because without Simmons on the floor, like I've been thinking about it, just our defense, our perimeter defense is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like,
I think that Ben Simmons is the best lockdown defender in the NBA right now.
Yes.
I really do believe that.
And yeah, I remember, you know, I was thinking, you know, Ben Simmons or trading for Harden or LaVine or Beal would take this team to another level. But like I've been thinking, just the defense he brings, and just
also his offensive impact isn't negative.
It's not at all. Yeah.
It's just he's doing other things rather than scoring. You know, what we saw him do earlier in his career a lot, I feel like, was he kind of just would sit around in the dunker spot, not being super active off ball when, you know, the ball was in Embiid's hands.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's running around like setting screens all over the place, you know, for shooters coming off of him and all that kind of stuff, like playing, you know, driving to the rim, doing kick out stuff, you know, facilitating and just doing all the little things. I think he's been definitely a plus on the offensive side of the ball. It's been really important for this Sixers team. And apparently, the statistics bear out that, you know, for a shooter on this Sixers team that gets a kick out pass from Ben Simmons, they're knocking down 45% of those threes.
No, he's one of the top facilitators in the league.
Yeah. So he's creating easy open shots for his teammates because the next highest person in that category on the Sixers is Embiid. And for all threes that are kicked out from Embiid is actually down to 33%.
Jeez.
So Ben Simmons by far is the reason why, you know, a lot of those open 3-point shots are being made and, you know, being created. So yeah, it's just a bunch of little things like that. I just feel like his overall impact, I'd just take it over LaVine this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I gotcha. His confidence right now is probably at the highest I've seen like in his career. Mm-hmm. Like after every play he made, every dunk against the Jazz, he was, you know, just yelling. He was just frustrated, you know, at the media, the critics, and just all that letting go. And it was beautiful to see because he's such a good player. Like, he's generational. I truly believe that. Like, his skill at 6'10 is just insane.
There's never been anybody like him. I know people will always try to, like, compare him to, like, LeBron and a bunch of other people. But, like, defensively, there's never been, like, a guy over 6'10 that defends the range of players that he does.
Yeah.
There's like the only other person is like KG maybe, but like KG never guarded a guy like Damian Lillard as a primary assignment for an entire game, you know?
Yeah.
And locked him down like that. Like Damian Lillard is the best scoring point guard, especially coming down in crunch time that we have in the NBA.
Yeah.
And you know, Simmons was applying those clamps to him in the backcourt, like seeming like he was going to force, you know, an 8 seconds or an over the back, over and back, you know, violation in that Portland game that went down to the wire that like needed a vintage Carmelo to save the Portland Trailblazers. Yeah, like Lillard really couldn't do it. He was like 6 for 22, something like that. It was crazy. Any direction Lillard wanted to go, Simmons was just long enough and fast enough to stay in front of him.
Exactly. And it's just like the fact that people say he's not a good defender after like Devin Booker scored 36 against the 76ers. But the fact is, when guarding Devin Booker, Ben Simmons, Devin Booker shot, he scored 12 points and he shot 33% from the field when guarded by Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
And
I believe that
every time Booker went down the floor, he received a screen to get switched. And it's just like, of course Devin Booker is going to do good against Danny Green, Seth Curry. It's like, what? Like Danny Green?
Yeah.
He's not, you know, as mobile anymore.
As he used to be.
And it just annoys me because they're like, oh, Simmons said he's the best defender in the world, on the world. Oh, but Devin Booker shot 30, you know, scored 36 against him, and Damian Lillard scored 30 against him. And it's just like, you're just a box score watcher. It's like, you don't actually watch the game. You don't watch his impact.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Literally, he's flying across the floor. Deflections, steals, blocks, just everywhere. Mm-hmm. He might, you know, end up being the best defender of all time at this rate. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, he's only 24. This athleticism. He hasn't had a major injury, really.
Yeah. Like, I mean, right now, I see him kind of on that. What he's been doing over the past couple months is on the level of, like, KG, Scottie Pippen, Kawhi. Like, those, like, the best perimeter defenders ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly don't think that's that crazy to say.
No, for real.
Quite honestly. So, but you know, this season I think he's a very good candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. Also, you know, Gobert is the other guy, but
I think Ben Simmons is the most underrated player in the NBA at this point. I really,
that's fair.
It's just,
you know, I can definitely see that. Yeah,
people are just like, he can't shoot. He can't shoot. He's not the best defender in the world. It's just, like, dude, watch him play for once, and I think your views will change.
Yeah.
Literally. Oh, he scored one point against the Nets in the playoffs. Or Celtics, one of those two.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. And he was also like, that was like two, three years ago.
Yeah. I understand it, man.
It's so irritating. Like, I cannot, like, look at comments on, you know, Instagram or Twitter anymore. It's just, it's like so many casuals. Can't stand it.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it, man. People only look at box scores. People only look at,
like, Damian Lillard was literally talking about it. Like, like, he tweeted out, you know, just a bunch of people. Like, most of the people are just box score watchers.
Yeah, and it's just, for sure. Exactly, man. And also Ben Simmons, you know, defending LeBron in that Lakers win. You know, LeBron had a good game, but Ben Simmons was hanging with LeBron on a level that very few players really have across his, like, LeBron's entire career, honestly. Yeah. I mean, he's just having an unbelievable season, and I feel like he deserves definitely a spot here.
And that game, you know, it was a mix of Harris and LeBron, just because Harris kind of built like LeBron, I'd say. Like, not obviously not as athletic.
Yeah, but dimensions-wise,
And it's just like, it kind of makes sense, you know, especially if Ben Simmons is off the floor at the time, or another player just needs to be guarded instead of like Danny Green guarding him or Seth Curry. So,
for sure. Makes sense. But yeah, so moving on now to the other forwards that I have on the bench. I guess the three forward spots that I have, which is, number one, I've got Jason Tatum. How do you feel about that?
He's not an all-star this year, dude. I'm sorry. He's not.
You don't think he's even on the all-star team?
No.
Okay, well, let's go through it really quick and just to see what other forwards would be on here. The next two forwards I have are Chris Middleton and Bam Adebayo.
Tobias Harris has had a better year than Jason Tatum this year.
Wow.
Dude,
Holy cow.
I 100% believe it, dude. Hold on. I'm going to be a box score watcher at this right now.
Well, so. I mean, I got their stats pulled up in front of me right now if you want to talk about them.
So what are his averages right now?
So Tatum. Harris is 21 points per game on shooting splits of 52, 43, 90. So he's in the 50, 40, 90 club right now.
Yeah.
True shooting percentage is 62. Mm. 7 rebounds, 7.4 rebounds, 3 assists. 34 minutes per game. Yeah, so he's playing really well. He's definitely a candidate. I was planning on talking about him coming up, but with Jason Tatum, he's at, let's see, where's he at? It's 26 points per game, shooting splits of 45, 41, 87. And he's got 7 rebounds per game, 4.5 assists. His usage rate is 31% versus Tobias Harris's 23. So like Tobias Harris, you know, he's doing really well in his role right now, which is, you know, that's the second option offensively, on this really good Sixers team.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. I think I just have to reward like Tatum as just being a number one guy. I think if Tatum's your best guy, I think he's taking you higher than if Tobias Harris is your best guy, if that makes sense.
But right now, just at this position, it's, you know, you're choosing a backup forward on an all-star team. You know, right now, it's like, and this season, Tobias has been better than Jason. Dude, Jason Tatum, every time I watch him, he's just chucking up shots, shooting bad percentages, you know, just thinking he's Kobe. And
I mean, his percentages aren't bad this year, but he's like 45, 41, 87. Those are all really, like, obviously field goal percentage is probably the lowest one, the 45, but that's not like bad. I think that's just reflecting that he's taking a lot of mid-range shots.
I cannot see him as an all-star this year, especially with the Celtics being
14-13. But I mean, I guess with Tatum on the roster, they're playing in the games that Tatum's played, they're 12-10. I just feel like I get what you're saying, that Tobias Harris has been more efficient. But I don't know if that makes up the gap between their production. You know, he's averaging 5 more points per game, and he's just much more important to their team with, you know, definitely much higher usage rating, and everything that the Celtics depend on him for, and defensively as well. You know, Tatum is, I think, definitely a level above Tobias Harris.
I disagree.
You disagree?
I do. I think Harris is a better defender than Tatum.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think that's going to be the first hot take alert. That I'm gonna sound
Tatum's
off.
Tatum's not a great defender.
Tatum is a very good defender. I'm not gonna say great, but he's a very good wing defender. Tobias Harris, I'm not saying he can't hold his own against, you know, some bigger guys because of his size. So he can definitely hold his own in a post up situation and things like that. And he's got a decent enough wingspan. But Tatum's just much more active on the defensive end. Can stick with shiftier players. I just think Tatum's clearly the better defensive player. And offensively, I think he's just, you know, he's more of the guy who's going to go get you a basket, at the end of a game type of guy.
Hear me out. Overall, Tatum's a better player. But this season, Tobias has been perfect in his role for the 76ers, shooting amazing splits. When he needs to show up, he shows up. That's, you know, this season has been one of his better seasons of his career. And
yeah, I don't disagree with that at all.
I think he deserves the all-star spot this year. He's clutch, and he deserves it. That's my take, and I'm sticking with it 100%.
All right, fair enough, man.
And
okay,
I did predict that he was going to have a, you know, kind of a breakout year.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
Doc Rivers being head coach, and I was right. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna stick with my opinion there. Sorry, right. Tatum, not this year. You've been sucking.
All right. Okay, so then Tobias Harris, he would be your first forward spot then?
Yeah.
Over Chris Middleton, over Bam Adebayo?
Yeah, over this season.
Any of those guys? Okay. So then you would also have Chris Middleton and Bam over Tatum? Or is there somebody else that you'd put over Tatum?
I would put Chris Middleton over Tatum, but I'll think I'll have Tatum over Bam.
You have Tatum over Bam. Okay, so then is there Gordon Hayward, Vucevic, Julius Randle?
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay, yeah. Julius Randle over Tatum. Oh my gosh, never mind. Get out of your
okay.
Tatum.
Okay, so... All right, so your three forward spots would be Harris, Middleton, and Randle, okay?
Yes, those three.
All right, but mine are Tatum, Middleton, and Adebayo, and then wild card spots. All right, so my first wild card spot I give to a guard, and that is Kyrie Irving. Unleash yourself if you have things to say.
What are his averages this season? I don't think I've looked at his.
Yeah, so he is averaging 27.6 points per game. That's 37 per 100. And so his shooting splits, he's also 50-40-90. So he's 53-41-95 on true shooting of 64%. So that's really, really high.
Is this his career high too? I feel like it's a career high. Like with the shooting percentages.
Oh yeah, for sure. Mhm.
Mhm.
And
honestly, I didn't think he'd average that many points. I thought he had like 22, 23 points per game, you know.
Just no, yeah, he's averaging almost 28. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I agree wholeheartedly then. That he deserves that spot.
Fair enough. So I actually have him over LaVine. But that doesn't sit right with you.
You're not going to have LaVine in the All-Star game at all?
Possibly. No, possibly. Got one more wild card spot, and that's the one that I'm kind of searching for. And LaVine is definitely one of the main candidates for that. but Irving, you know, I just think what Irving's doing is more impressive than LaVine. You know, he's on a team where there's two other, like, MVP-level players. And he's having this kind of production. So I just feel like it's more important. He's on a better team. It's what he's doing is just, I feel like it's harder to do, than with a team that's literally catered to you. Like the whole system is built completely around you. But you know, I guess I wouldn't be mad though, if you put LaVine over Irving, especially if you're talking about missed games. You know, Irving's only played 19 games this season compared to LaVine played 25. 26. Or 26 now. That's, you know, a game has happened since I filled out this spreadsheet.
And
but
LaVine's also shooting 85% from free throw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I do have Irving there, I guess. But this is the one I need help with, the last one. So I had Tobias Harris there. When I did the video, or I did the podcast yesterday, that's where I landed because I wanted to give it to a forward. But then today, when I was thinking back on it, I was really wanting to put Zach LaVine in there or even Drew Holiday. Just because I think Drew Holiday has been really, really good defensively this season, and doing a lot of the little things. And I'm more attracted to that sometimes. Where, like, I feel like those types of players don't get as much credit when we're talking about all-star voting because we always want to see the more, like, dazzling scoring-type players in there. But I think there's a number of teams that really would want Drew Holiday this season more than they would want Zach LaVine.
Drew Holiday is even close to being on the all-star team. I would have LaMelo Ball over him.
You would have LaMelo Ball over Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
All right, this is the second hot take alert that I'm gonna sound off.
The thing is, Drew Holiday has been, you know, amazing. I'm not gonna take away from that.
So what has LaMelo Ball been in comparison to Drew Holiday?
LaMelo Ball's been better, I think. You know, he's been shooting well. He's been
okay. Drew Holiday's been hitting almost 40% of his threes. He's at 39%, which is a career high. And that's definitely higher than what LaMelo Ball's at without even me pulling up the numbers. But Holiday is just a more important player to winning right now. That is, I feel like, an unquestionable.
Okay, I might have gone too far with saying LaMelo is higher than Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I still don't think he deserves it. Especially over, like, Tobias and Zach LaVine. It's just like, what? I can't.
That's fair. I he's not the scoring type of option that those guys are. But, you know, when you're talking about impacting winning, you know, I just feel like he's just doing, you know, he's defending backcourt players better than I think anybody this season. Even, you know, Ben Simmons has been doing it in flashes, but that's where Drew Holiday lives. And I think that he's the best backcourt defender in the NBA right now. I just feel like if you're the best defender, one of the best defenders in the league, you gotta, like, it's, we just feel, I feel like we never give those guys credit for what they're doing. It's always so offensive geared and offensive focused when we're doing all-star teams, which, you know, historically is just a thing. But I guess I don't blame you for wanting to cross off Drew Holiday, but that's one of the guys that I've been thinking about. Other guys is Nick Vucevic, who's been blazing from the three-point arc. He's been hitting 43% of his threes on, like, almost 10 attempts per 100.
It just sucks.
Yeah.
That
the Maverick or the Magic are
just, yeah, the Magic are not great, and then just he gets so overlooked. I mean, he was even overlooking him, you know, deciding my backup all-star team.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, man, that's rough.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good players. I think the East is more stacked this year than the West in terms of all-star candidates. There's a lot more guys. Mm-hmm. I feel like that deserve, I like, mean, a look.
Have Harden and KD crossing over. So it's like,
yeah,
it's just tough.
It kind of does it. And Drew Holiday also came over. And then, so I guess I'm going to cross off Nick Vucevic just because the team isn't, you know, really winning. Everything's really built around him. Obviously, the points have to come from somewhere, and his usage rate is really high, so he's getting about 24 points per game. I just don't feel like that's quite... I feel like Tobias Harris is a level higher than that, in my opinion, and what he's doing this season. So, and then Gordon Hayward, he's just a guy I really want to give it to, just because I'm really happy for him in his new situation. Having this Hornets team that's really been built around him, kind of really playing at the center of it, averaging like 23 points per game, facilitating the ball well, rebounding well, shooting the ball well, just kind of, you know, moving the ball around on offense, having one of the more creative and dynamic offenses in the league, especially for where they're sitting in the standings. They've just kind of been a little bit of a feisty Eastern Conference team this year, and they're kind of making a push for the play-in. So, part of me wants to reward Hayward for that. I think I might be giving the edge to LaVine or Harris or even Holiday. And then Julius Randle is another guy that I feel like needs some credit for what he's doing with the Knicks.
Definitely.
But I just feel like some of these other guys I said before, I might put a little higher. And then even Malcolm Brogdon and Domantas Sabonis, which if you would have told me like 2 weeks ago to pick all-star teams, they both probably would have been on it. But I feel like their production has slid a lot since the Oladipo trade. And also the Pacers have been hurting in general a lot ever since the Oladipo trade. Uh-huh. They're really missing like that ball handling, shot creating presence that Oladipo provided. Yeah, and exactly. So if they get LeVert back healthy, I think that's going to do wonders for this Pacers team.
Why I'm just not too worried about the Pacers right now.
Yeah, for sure. But it's a shame. It's a shame that it had to happen for Brogdon and Sabonis, because I feel like their production was unreal at the beginning of the season. It was like Brogdon was averaging like 25 points per game, and Sabonis was an animal on the boards as well as scoring. Mm-hmm. And they've just both kind of slid. So I feel like that kind of puts them below some of these other guys we're talking about. And then Jeremy Grant was the last guy I wanted to talk about, who I think, you know, who I considered at one point thinking about for this last spot. But yeah, I think it's got to go to either Harris, LaVine, or Holiday. That's where it's at for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think I'm just going to stick with Harris for now to keep it at just a guard in a forward spot in the West. But I honestly could go either way with Holiday or LaVine as well. But anyways, moving on to the West, I think this one's going to be easier and also quicker.
Yeah, for sure.
So the three forward spots, just like in the East, I think are locks for the starting lineup. For me, it's LeBron, Jokic, and Kawhi.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah. I mean, you can't say no to that. I mean, Jokic is an MVP candidate, so is LeBron. Mm-hmm. So is Kawhi. So is Curry.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. And then, yeah, so no disagreements there. And then for the starting backcourt in the West, there's really three candidates for me, at least in this department. And so I'm going to give them to you right now, and I want you to pick your who would be your starting backcourt in this. So you got Steph, Dame, and Luka.
Steph and Dame.
Who are you? Steph and Dame? Is that what you said? That's mine too. That's what I ended up choosing.
Seriously, I like that.
I saw a lot of people putting Dame on the bench and starting Luka, but
no chance, man. Just dude, Dame, like, he just has a great season every year, and everybody's just like, oh, just this next season he's not gonna, you know, show up like last year.
Yeah,
but then it's
yeah.
just like he does it every year.
Mm-hmm.
At
and
this point, it's
I just think insane. What a thing that really matters is that Portland and Mavericks game that went down to the wire, and Dame just out-dueled Luka in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really matters.
And they were missing McCollum as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think that's a big piece of this. And Luka's just team production in general has been subpar compared to the Warriors and the Blazers. So,
mm-hmm. And his flopping has been kind of ridiculous and pissing me off. So it's like...
yeah. No, I mean, I still like Luka, but I think... Yeah, it's just kind of stacked right here. He's definitely the third guard, though, in the West for sure. So, he's my first guard coming off the bench. My other guard, will be, it's kind of a toss up for me, but I have Chris Paul here right now. You know, the Suns are sitting with the fourth best record in the West, and that really matters. And I feel like Chris Paul has been their best player this season. Honestly, like Devin Booker, you know, he's been leading scorer and everything like that. But, you know, the biggest change for them has been their, you know, more slow and methodical pace. And, you know, the role players really getting a lot more touches and threes beyond the arc. And Paul's, you know, a really big reason for that and the offense that he kind of has implemented. So
that's fair. I think I'd still put Booker for me personally. I mean, he's scoring 24 per game, 49% from, you know, field goal, 35 from three, which you want to see him do better because, you know, he's a 3-point shooting champ.
Yeah.
So, but he's still having a good season, and, you know, without him, they would not be on their winning streak right now, and you know,
oh yeah, no doubt about that. He's definitely their second best player, and that's a really, you know, and I think it's more of a 1A, 1B type of thing. Like they both can be viewed as the best player on their team because their skills are very different. You know,
definitely.
they're helping their team in different ways. So yeah, I don't have any arguments there. And then
I keep forgetting.
What?
Actually, no, I'll save it.
All right. Okay, so then the three front court spots, I have number one, I got Rudy Gobert. I guess these aren't in any particular order, these three, but I have Rudy Gobert on here just because I think if the season were to end today, he just from voting.
Actually, you know what? I think I'm going to replace Devin Booker with Donovan Mitchell this season.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm going to get to him as well. Mm-hmm. So
I feel like it would just be awful not to have him in the All-Star game at all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. You know, I have him on here as well as a lock for the first wild card spot. But, and he, I think, you know, you really could switch around him and Paul for me also.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people talking about this Jazz team, about who the best player on the team is. And there's kind of been split into three camps among like the analytics community, like the people who are much more, you know, they cover basketball as a job. More so, more than just the casual fans. But because I feel like the casual fan base, I think everybody almost would say Mitchell is their best player. But there's been a lot of people who have been in Camp Gobert this season, even a lot of people in Camp Conley this season as being the most important player on their team. You know, I've been hearing arguments about how, you know, Mike Conley is having maybe the best season of his career, his best season shooting wise for sure. And that tandem between Gobert and Conley has really been what's carrying their offense, throughout the game, that, you know, just having shooters built around that with Bogey and O'Neal, even Mitchell and Clarkson and Niang, all those guys. But yeah, Conley's really figured it out in terms of, you know, tossing those lob passes to Gobert, and just creating in that scenario. So I definitely get that argument as well. Also, he's never made an All-Star team. He's kind of known as like the best player ever to not be on an All-Star team. So people, you know, there's some sentiment in that. People want to put him in there for that. But yeah, I feel like Gobert for me is, I think, their most important player, just because without him, like, I don't know where they would probably be, below league average, probably defensively. Or at least at league average, but with him, I think they're fourth, third or fourth right now in defensive rating. So, and that's been huge for their success. They've been the only team in the league so far this season that are top five in both offense and defense. And you know, Gobert is a big part of both ends of the floor. Honestly, a lot of what they do offensively is kind of built around what he does as a roller. So, and you know, with Mitchell, I can see an argument for him as the best player, just because, you know, they are really staggering those minutes throughout the Jazz games with Conley and Gobert as a tandem on the floor together. And then when they come off the floor, they'll have Mitchell be carrying the offense by himself. And that's hurt Mitchell's efficiency and things like that this season. Like, I feel like he would be probably playing a little bit better alongside Gobert more minutes, but as for a team though, I think it's helping the Jazz a lot to still stay afloat, at, you know, during every minute of the game, having a potent offense. So
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. All three of them I think have been awesome, but, Gobert and Mitchell are the two that I'm for sure locking in on the All-Star team.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my first forward, Gobert, second forward, Paul George is who I'm going with, shooting 50, 40, 90. And just being a two-way monster, playing like the Paul George from two seasons ago. So, yeah, no question there.
Even better.
Even better than the two seasons ago with the Thunder?
Yeah.
He got third in MVP that season. He was averaging at 29 a game.
True. That season was a little dry, I feel like.
Yeah, fair enough. But, yeah, anyways, Paul George having a super good season, definitely deserves a spot. And then Anthony Davis is the last guy I'm going to put on here. You know, he's definitely having a very disappointing season for me. That's why he ends up down here at the bottom. But, you know, it's still, his production is good enough to earn him a spot. There's not really, you know, the other options to put up here against him would be like DeMar or Zion or Brandon Ingram, really, are the only three other forwards in the West that I feel like would be in contention. So, yeah, I think it has to go to AD. But, yeah, I've been disappointed with him kind of taking the regular season off a bit so far, kind of coasting. But yeah. And then, yeah, Mitchell obviously is my first wild card spot, like I said. And then for my last one, this was, you know, I put DeMar on it yesterday just because I wanted to keep, like how I did in the East, a guard and a forward. Just, and I also wanted to reward the Spurs for having a 16-11 record or whatever it is right now, being the sixth seed in the West. Like, that's pretty huge. And their best player for sure has been DeMar DeRozan. And he's been, like, facilitating the ball really well. All those kinds of things. He's been, like, kind of a glue guy, all-star type of player for them.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's deserving of it. But then other guys, you got Devin Booker, who I think also has a case. And I might just opt him in instead. Because, I don't know, I feel like, man, when it comes down to it, Devin Booker is just, he's a killer, you know, like
cold blooded killer.
I don't know. I'm sure you probably have Booker higher than DeRozan, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it really could go either way for me though. But yeah, I did put DeMar on here yesterday, but then yeah, other guys, Mike Conley, SGA, De'Aaron Fox. Really the only other three guys that I kind of thought about,
yeah.
Who are, yeah, all of them are having really good seasons as well. But yeah, that's my Western Conference team. I feel like they're pretty similar. Would you have the three forwards that I had with Gobert, George, and Davis?
It's tough for me because I feel like Davis has missed a lot of playing time this year.
Yeah, that's true.
And kind of has just slowed down a little bit, I would say. You know, because I'm pretty sure you projected him as MVP.
Yeah.
Right?
I did.
So it's like, right now, you know, I wasn't too high on Zion last year, but recently he's been insane.
No, yeah, he has been, and for sure.
I think he deserves a little bit of love. But I mean, his defense hasn't been too great.
Mm-mm.
A little slow.
The Pelicans have been very up and down also.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, just I think, you know, it's just tough for me.
But you'd take Zion over Ingram though?
I would.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I mean, I think that's probably what I would lean towards also, but I don't know. I feel like they're pretty close.
I don't think just Ingram hasn't taken that next step that everyone is expecting him to take.
Yeah.
You know?
Their numbers are basically, they're very similar to each other this season. But you know, the reason why I decided, you know, I'd put DeMar over both of them is because the Spurs as a team is just much better than the Pelicans this season. And DeMar is like the guy on that team. And with the Pelicans, you got Zion and you got Brandon Ingram. And, you know, there's talent around them too. You know, you got Eric Bledsoe, Steven Adams. The team is constructed weird for sure. But you would think that for, you know, all the weird players they have, at least they would be competent defensively. But they have not been at all this season, which is just very weird. Mm-hmm. Having guys like Zion and Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe, Josh Hart,
also a good perimeter defender.
Yeah. And then having a coach like Stan Van Gundy, you know? So it's very weird.
Actually, I think Lonzo Ball might be our best defender this season. Mm.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, he's a really good backcourt defender for sure. Even wing, so.
The fact that you hire Stan Van Gundy over, like, good young options like, you know, Sam Cassell, Dave Yeager, even. He's a very good defensive coach. So it's just like, I feel like going for just the Pelicans do not really know how to hire coaches. I feel like, I'm going to be honest. I just feel like there were so many better options than Stan. Mm.
Yeah, it was a very odd option because Stan Van Gundy's not really a developmental guy. He's more of a, you know, defensive win now type guy as a coach. But, like, You know, and this is a young team that needs to be molded together. You know, I feel like Kenny Atkinson would have been an awesome hire, as well.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be, yeah.
Yeah. So we agree there, but, yeah, for this Western Conference team, I think I'm going to stick with either DeRozan or Booker in here. I'm going to cross off everybody else. But yeah, that was pretty easy. I think the West was pretty solid. But you would, so would you put DeMar over Anthony Davis, or how would you rank those two?
What's Anthony Davis's averages this
season? It's like 23, 9 and 4, I want to say, something like that. Let me look at those. Yeah, 23 points, 8.4 rebounds, 3 assists. You know, not like
19.8
really on par with points. His other stuff, but you know, DeRozan he's taken a step back in terms of scoring, but like,
yeah,
facilitating the ball though, just making that offense like gel and work, watching the Spurs, it's all built around him, you know? And it kind of reminds me of what Gordon Hayward's doing in Charlotte, but more successful. That's how I would describe what DeMar is in San Antonio. So, but yeah, so I think I'm going to give the edge to Anthony Davis still, just because of his defensive impact. And you know, when he turns it on, we know he's still at least a top five player in this league, you know? So
for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, to say the least, I'd say his season has been pretty disappointing. He's been taking less threes than he did last year for some reason. And I don't really understand why. You know, like the whole thing last year was like, I'm going to start taking more threes. But he's kind of abandoned that a little bit. He's more like his New Orleans numbers now. But I don't know. You know, I just think that Anthony Davis could be one of the best players, like, in NBA history, even. The way that he's built, the way that his game works and everything like that. But
I personally don't think he will reach Garnett, Nowitzki, and Duncan level.
That's fair.
I think he's going to get injured.
Too much, yeah.
Too much. Mm. And just the disrespect those three have been getting, you know, by people saying Anthony Davis is already better than those
Who
three.
Says that?
So you don't see people
no,
saying
man,
that.
No, man, I don't really pay attention
season?
To people on Twitter. Dude, I listen more to like,
it's awful.
Like, I feel like you need to start listening to more podcasts and get more into the realm of people who are smart, who listen, like, talk about basketball.
But at least I don't get influenced.
Yeah.
By NBA Twitter, so I guess.
That's good.
But
yeah, that's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. I'm not saying like, I could see if you're arguing, you think that prime Anthony Davis could beat any of those three. Like, I'm not saying that's crazy, but like career wise, there's just no way Anthony Davis is past those guys' like pedigree, you know?
Definitely.
Like Tim Duncan, I'd say best power forward of all time, you know?
Agreed. Yeah.
The career he's built. Kevin Garnett is, you know, right up there as well. Nowitzki, even Barkley, Malone. I think Anthony Davis has yet to pass all five of those guys so far. So, not saying he can't, but right now, yeah, he's definitely got way too many years to play out still, you know?
For sure.
Yeah, for sure, dude. So, I feel like that should be it for this episode. We went pretty long actually. So
we did.
Yeah, but I think that will be it. It's basically just a repeat of like the last episode, but just with two people. So I don't know. Maybe I'll just delete the other one and put this one up instead. I don't know, but yeah, maybe I'll just keep it on there. Like it doesn't hurt anything, I guess.
Might as well.
Yeah.
You just put part two.
Yeah.
Remastered.
Yeah, I'll do that. But yeah, so like, comment, subscribe, do all that kind of stuff. You know, today is Michael Jordan's birthday, which is
happy birthday to the GOAT.
Yeah, for sure, man. Which, so I'm, you know how we had that conversation the other episode with Jacob, with like the goat debate.
Of goats, yeah. Michael Jordan.
Yeah. So I've actually been making a spreadsheet, filling out like a bunch of different stats and accolades around Tom Brady's career and Jordan's career. Really? I've also kind of been including LeBron in there too. I'm planning on doing a podcast episode about it sometime. But I'm not really going to dive into like any of the other sports just because I don't know them enough, you know? I will admit that you might want to throw up Messi or Ronaldo or some of those guys into this debate also. I'm not going to deny that, but I'm not going to be the one making that argument.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's fair because I don't think you've watched a soccer game in your life.
Yeah, well, except for maybe in like FIFA or something like that.
It's just like you just haven't really stepped into that area. So, I mean, like I understand why you would not include it in your particular, you know, GOAT debate.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I feel like the main argument is going to be centered around though, like, you know, Tom Brady, you know, he's considered the GOAT of football, which I don't disagree with, but like was there ever really a point in his career that he was like the consensus best player in the league for like a really long stretch, you know?
It's just like, it's so hard.
There was always like a competitor that people would say, oh no, that this guy's better than Brady. Like Manning's better than Brady. Then it was Rodgers is better than Brady. You know, that kind of stuff. With Jordan, there was never any like debate who is the best player in the league. And whenever there was one, like it was very quickly like squashed by what Jordan did, you know? And same kind of goes with LeBron for like 15 years, basically has been considered the best player in the world. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple moments where people have tried to make, you know, arguments like Durant's better or, you know, when he first started like Kobe's better or, you know, things like that. But, for the most, there's been a very long stretch in there where there was really no main competition. But yeah, so that's a little bit of a sneak peek, but anyways, so be looking out for that pretty soon. But yeah, we're going to wrap this up. Thanks for listening. And we will talk to you guys next time.